We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Joe Rose Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Hey, welcome back for the 9 o'clock hour. Mike Florio, we got to move up because we won't be working on Friday due to an early Miami Hurricane football game.
Pre-game show starts, 4 hours before the game starts? Yeah. So 8 a.m. on Friday, you'll get that. A big game
on
Friday.
Which is a hell of a lot more important than our show is that Miami Hurricane game coming up. So Mike Florio's going to come up here and join us in about 13, 14
that's
minutes
right,
from now.
Right.
We'll talk to Mike everything NFL, including one of the most bizarre stories for me, Zach, is what's going on in Buffalo. Did you see their coach came out and said he's still not sure about this week? That he said
this kid, Sean McDermott, that's the coach up there in Buffalo?
He said Peterman did some good things.
Okay, where?
How can you throw five picks in the first half?
I'm not a tape-watching guy. We talk about this all the time. I don't watch tape after the games. I don't know this and that. Well, I watched the first half.
He's got to be worried about you don't want to lose a team. My God, they got
– Joe, he was on pace for 10 picks in the game. Like, that's that you're going to lose your team very quickly in that. And they took out Tyrod because they wanted to win games. They put this guy in, Peterman. He throws five picks. I'm like, are you kidding? Like, are you kidding? It's nuts. So, yeah, of course. I don't know what McDermott's doing. Beginning of the season, I thought McDermott at that point – man, this guy is on pace to get coach of the year.
Well,
like, he's close.
They really had it going, and now they got a defense struggling, and offensively, I just thought it was a little early in the game. They had a better than 500 record to go with a rookie when you got a quarterback. Maybe it's just against us he plays well, because it seems like every time we play against him, he is really – really good.
He has our number. What do you mean?
Maybe just us. I don't.
It's just us.
I don't know.
It's
maybe
possible.
It's just an us thing.
It's possible.
That's going on. By the way, the other story, and it's always been amazing to me that Giancarlo Stanton is one of the biggest stars. He just won an MVP award. They're really hard to win. We don't get a lot of MVPs down here.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't. And Giancarlo Stanton just got the first one in the history of Marlins organization. He's still got a big contract. He's still a young guy. He's going to get traded. He's got a no-trade clause, so he's controlling where he goes. And if he says, yes, I'll go to St. Louis or San Fran or Boston, but he can also say, nah, I don't want to go to any of them. I'll wait. So it's,
you think he stays here or not? You think he's gone?
I think 100%? He's gone.
100%.
I think St. Louis, San Francisco, and Boston – are all better places for him to go.
Much better
if
baseball
serious,
cities.
If he's serious about it, he didn't get his money no matter where he goes.
Guaranteed
so
contract,
But if he really wants to go where baseball is really important, those three places, that if he's a star there and can play under the pressure, which he's never had to do because you just play down here, nobody cares if you strike out 200 times or you hit 60 home runs because of everything down here that's been going on with baseball, which most of it hasn't been good. Guy's a hell of a story, though, and what he's been able to do. But you would think good-looking son of a gun putting up those kind of numbers would be a complete star in this town. And guess what? I feel like we never got to know the guy.
Mm-hmm, right.
Never around, never did anything, just kind of treat him like he was a middle reliever.
Yep.
Just a guy.
It's crazy that it comes down to that. Crazy that the best players on this team might not be here in the next couple of weeks, but the fact that the MVP of the league, and this, I told you this has only happened once before, where the MVP got traded in the offseason after winning the MVP, and that was A-Rod. Yeah, and now it's more than likely going to be Giancarlo Stanton, and this new ownership group comes in here, and we kind of knew once they took over what was going to happen. But it is crazy also to think about the fact that the Moss family was right there and didn't want to do this, and that was the other group, and now we're going back to
they didn't want to do it.
No, they didn't. They weren't going to come in here and sell players off.
Oh,
that's different. Do they want the team? Yes, we knew that. We got an ownership group that wants to come in here and start from fresh. And the way to do that is to trade your top paid guys away who are the best players on this team.
It's going to get ugly before it gets better.
I agree.
They want to build their minor league system up. They want to get some young players with low salaries to go with some of the guys. I got to believe they're going to keep some of the outfield, keep two out of three, unless they just get some kind of unbelievable offer that we'll see two out of three of the guys. But the one guy is going to make $25 million this year, and the next 10 years going to make $295 million is probably, I'd say, 90-something percent gone. I'm probably being nice here. And by the way, the other part of it, the Miami Herald made a big deal about it, about celebrating the first Marlins MVP with the first 27 fans to purchase season tickets getting assigned Giancarlo Stanton baseball. It doesn't bother me.
No, but it's
they're trying
dirty.
To sell tickets.
It's kind of dirty.
It is a little bit. Come celebrate the MVP before he leaves.
Kind of dirty.
It would be better if they said that. Come celebrate and get a baseball before he leaves because you'll never get one again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of dirty.
They kind of left that
but
out.
But I understand it from a marketing standpoint, but it's dirty. I understand it.
When are they going to get going on their game plan and putting everything in place? And
as soon as Giancarlo's gone.
Maybe you're right. Maybe they don't want to have to answer about Giancarlo Stanton stuff. Hey, we're going to take a break when we come back. We're going to have Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. We're going to talk about the commissioner. We're going to talk about the Dolphins and the Bills and all the other big stories around the National Football League right after this. Stay with us.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Let's go right to him. Let's treat this like a Friday. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us. Mike, good morning. Happy early Thanksgiving to you. How you doing?
Hey, doing great. How are you guys today?
We're good. Man, we got so much stuff going. Hey, you know, to kind of switch things up here a little bit, officials, the Dolphins have been a little upset the last few weeks on some calls to go along with some of the bad football they're playing. Would you like to see the calls where the league would come out and say – officials blew it on three or four calls? Would it be good for business or bad for business?
I am a firm believer that transparency is always good for business. Without transparency, it creates the impression that people are hiding things. And I know that the officials get graded, and they're very conscious of their grades, and that determines postseason assignments. But I think that, you know, look, everybody else is fair game for criticism. If a player makes a big mistake, if a coach makes a mistake, Mike Mularkey made the point yesterday because the Titans were on the wrong side of the improper administration of the forward fumble rule late in Thursday night's game against Pittsburgh. Late in the first half, Antonio Brown fumbled at the 41. Martavis Bryant recovered at the 32. They spotted at the 32. They should have fixed it. The game official, replay official, league office, they all screwed it up, and there should be public accountability. They should be subject to a press conference, not a pool report where one person goes in and asks a couple of questions. They should have to answer questions just like a coach has to, just like a player has to after every game.
Yeah, I just think it'd be good in every city, whether they win or lose, because I know there's been a couple calls late in games, and I said, man, I'd like to know, first of all, if Adam Gase is going to call the league on this, and they're going to let him know, and then, of course, he can't say anything or he gets fined if it is against them. So we never know. It would be nice to know, though. I think fan bases all across the NFL would love to know, like, hey, was that a good call or bad call? I thought it was a bad call. Oh, it was, right?
Well, that's right. And, you know, when Mike Carrera was the VP of officiating, I thought that he did a good job when he'd be on TV or radio, very transparent, very honest about it. But, you know, they don't come out and list all the bad calls. They don't admit them. You have to, like, sleuth them out. And I understand they don't want to tarnish their own brand, but I think it helps the brand if there's an atmosphere of accountability,
right.
if there's an atmosphere of transparency, and no one is running from their mistakes. Coaches can't run from their mistakes. Players can't run from their mistakes.
Nope.
And maybe if the accountability is something more than the private grading process, maybe guys would work a little harder to know the rule book. Maybe they'd be a little more dedicated. Maybe that fear, you know, fear is a great motivator. Fear of public failure and embarrassment it motivates a lot of people to do a lot of things, and maybe it would help improve the overall officiating in the NFL.
Mike, Jerry Jones now, I read the story, the secret ballot regarding Goodell's contract with the other owners. Like, what's going on here, and is this ever going to end?
Well, I don't know that it ends if Goodell signs a contract, and I think one of the reasons why the compensation committee hasn't finalized this thing is they just don't know what Jerry Jones is going to do once the deal is done. Here's where it all stands big picture. Back in May, all 32 owners, including Jones, voted to give the compensation committee essentially a blank check to sign Goodell to a new contract, and there were no parameters, there were no limits, there was no preset authority as to how much they could or couldn't pay. And now Jones is regretting that and trying to apply some limits. He tried by being an ad hoc member of the committee to get the contract into a spot where he wanted it to be. He wants accountability for the commissioner. He wants to reduce the commissioner's powers, and he's not letting it go. And the secret ballot would be a device for allowing owners who don't want to put their name to the vote publicly, who may have concerns about it, but they think politically it wouldn't be wise to take on the commissioner publicly, right? Because the commissioner is going to know who right. voted in favor and who voted against it. So if you are against it, if you are opposed to the commissioner's contract and you fear a reprisal, then this is a smart way to do it. And it makes it not awkward among your other owners who may be pushing you to go along with this. So I think that Jerry Jones' methods may be questionable, and he's upset a lot of owners with his tactics. Any time that I explain to someone that Jerry Jones believes he's acting in the best interest of the league, most people respond by saying, isn't he? And I mean, that's the bottom line. He may be in a position where he has a good point. He's just not expressing himself all that eloquently.
It would sound a lot better if it was coming from another owner. There's no question about that. Let me ask you, overall, Mike, you follow Roger Goodell as closely as anybody, the good and the bad through the this year and last year. You think overall he deserves, I don't care what he makes, another contract to be the commissioner? You think somebody else coming in, they could get somebody else ready to go in that position?
Well, and that's the real question, Joe. It's like throwing your quarterback over to the sideline. Who's going to take his place,
right?
So I don't know enough about who the alternative would be to comment on whether or not it shouldn't be Goodell. And one of the reasons they're pushing to get this done now, and they admitted this during a media briefing last week, they do these once or twice a week. Joe Lockhart, the former Bill Clinton White House press secretary, he said they want to get this done because they've got some big negotiations coming up. They have a CBA that expires in early 2021. They've got Monday Night Football that expires after the 2021 season. They've got all the other TV deals that expire after 2022. They understand that time is of the essence from the standpoint of having certainty. You don't want the uncertainty of the commissioner's contract to be leveraged in any early negotiations. So you get the commissioner extended beyond the triggers for the CBA and the network talks, and then you know he's your guy, he's the leader, he's the one who's going to be in charge of these negotiations, and that sends a strong message of unity to the people they're going to be negotiating yeah. with. And that's the reality. Everything that's going on now, it sends anything but a message of unity.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
It's going to become an afternoon of volume and drama at Hard Rock Stadium.
The crowd's on their part. Everybody is on their feet.
Cavaliers 28, Miami 21, 10 minutes to go, third quarter. Dowling goes short side right. Ben Curtin with a hot set of dice sends two receivers to his left. Has Ellis in the backfield, Park to his right side, first down to the air. It's protected. He throws, intercepted by Miami. This could go for a touchdown at the 10, at the 5. It's Jaquan Johnson. Touchdown, Miami. They're going wild at Hard Rock Stadium. It's a pick six for the junior from Killian High School. He does it again.
Boom, strop, pop, 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 and a takeaway for the Hurricane.
Well, after listening to that pick six, I just got goosebumps again, man. That was unbelievable. Jaquan Johnson tying that game up at 28 apiece. Hurricanes go on and score 30 straight points, get a win to stay undefeated. Manny Diaz, Miami Hurricanes defensive coordinator, joins us this morning. Manny, good morning. How you doing?
Doing great, Joe. How are you doing?
Man, we're doing great. And, boy, I thought that play – just kind of going back and forth, and I felt like, well, they'll come back. But I thought that pick six, that just really turned that whole, flipped that whole game. Did you feel like that really got it going?
Yeah, you know, when you're not playing at your best, which obviously we weren't, sometimes it just takes, you know, one of your leaders to step up and make a play, and that's what Jaquan Johnson has been for us all year. No surprise that it was him. And the moment wasn't too big for him, and from that point on, you could really sense that we'd, you know, go on and take control of the game from there.
Man, I want to ask you, just Benkert had a heck of a game at one point. I think he was 18 and 19 or something. He's doing little rollouts. Did they do anything when he got off to such a hot start there through two and a half quarters? Was it the rollouts that threw you off a little bit? Looks like he was getting outside the pocket a little bit, having success on some big plays.
No, they do a lot of things in terms of, you know, pre-snap movements and shifting and things like that. There's a combination of two things. We played very poorly. We had some things that had not happened to us all year in the back end in terms of just busting our matchups on the backside. And then on the flip side, you have to give him credit because the guy played out of his mind.
He did play. He made some great throws, boy.
Yeah, like so when we were in really good coverage position, he still put it on the money. And then obviously there was a couple of instances where we just completely did not. We knew what he did well. We knew that there were certain plays that he did throw the ball well. But it was a combination of they executed at a very high level, and then we just were just like Santa Claus giving away presents. And once we just and that's what we knew we could. Once we stopped helping them, you know, and we move some guys around in the back end. And once we stopped helping him, I think we started playing a lot better.
Manny, ACC Defensive Back of the Week for the third straight week, Jaquan Johnson. We just heard the highlight. We just talked about him for a second. He's playing at a very high level right now, and I know that some guys step up during the season, towards the end of the season when you need big plays. But the last couple weeks for you, this guy has been, you know, the defensive MVP from what I'm seeing. What are you seeing on tape after the games also about Jaquan?
Well, what's neat about Jaquan is that he's been playing at a high level since the first game of the season. What's been great to see is that he has made, you know, more of the sort of the obvious big plays that everybody can see, you know, whether it's interceptions or being involved in enforcing fumbles and things like that, which, you know, ideally that's what gets you, you know, the national type of attention of playing at an All-American level, which he really is. But all year, even when he was not intercepting passes, running back for touchdowns, he was playing at as high of a level as anyone we have in our defense. So it's good to see him make those bigger plays that really, get him the national love.
Hey, Manny, I don't know if you saw this from Joe Reed from Virginia, his comments. I got to read these because they're just unbelievable. I couldn't believe a player from another team said this. The turnover chain sparked Miami. Without the chain, they would be a different defense. Look at what you've created, man. They're running over there and going, "Now we're screwed now." They're putting that damn chain on.
Well, it does back up a little bit what we started to suspect a week ago, is that it does seem to get into the heads of the other team. But again, that is still not. It's funny, during the course of the week, the way we practice, you'd be amazed for all the turnovers we're getting, how little we actually talk about it during the week. You know, nobody sees the chain during the week. We still want to base ourselves on the idea of what creates turnovers instead of just, you know, you would think we're all we're doing is sitting around saying how we're going to get a turnover,
Right.
We want to stop the run and we want to affect the quarterback, and we affect the quarterback with a great pass rush and being solid in our pass coverage. And then if you do that, it's just, you know, it to me, it's not luck. The turnovers come after that. So, you know, again, our players learned a valuable lesson. They learned about playing to the standard of Miami, and that the opponent really doesn't matter. And you know, you could warn them all week before the Virginia game, coming off the two emotional games, and you can talk to them about it. You can show them examples of it.
Right. But
listen, we're still learning. We're still learning as a program what it takes to be at your best every week. And what I told the team after told the defense after the game, what I was most proud of is that it is not hard to play good every now and then. And that's why Virginia was so proud of themselves at halftime, because they had played very well at a very high level for a half. What is very hard in college football is to play and be the best team on the field every week. That's very, very hard. And it's the only sport that really demands that you almost have to win all your games, right, to have a chance. There's no, you know, there's no 16-team playoff, or we're not playing 82 or 162 games to get in, right? So the respect I have for our guys to find the mental toughness to not panic and to walk them down twice from being down 14 points is no small thing. As a coach, you know, there's a lot of things you're always proud of, but the mental toughness of your team is something. When you have that, man, that's what all great championship teams have.
Manny, when you look at all the different defensive stats, the big ones, you guys are top three in sacks, top three in interceptions and fumble recoveries. You guys are at the top just about. Is there any one stat? I know obviously winning games is the most important one. Is there any one stat that's most important to you?
Well, you know, points, right? Because points is what correlates to winning.
Yes.
How do we not score points? How do we not give up points? Well, there's two ways. Don't give up long touchdowns. We had only given up one all year. We gave up four to Virginia. That's unacceptable. I think we're number fourth in the country in red zone touchdown percentage allowed. So when people get in our red zone, they don't score touchdowns. So the combination, if we don't give up long touchdown passes, mm-hmm. or long touchdown runs, and then when people get in our red zone, that's where the mental toughness of your team kicks in. You don't let people score. We're gonna hold the score down. You know, everybody asked me all offseason, you know, last year you guys ranked this in total defense, and how, you know, what do you expect this year? What's the goal? Top five, whatever. And I told everybody, I said, all I want to do is win more games. And I was like, well, yeah, okay. What do you really mean? I'm like, I want to win more games.
Right.
And we are doing, you know, our formula of how we win games is we're seeing that come through, and the turnovers, which again we did not get last year, and some of those games in October we lost that we could have won if we had gotten more turnovers. Those matter, man, because, you know, hey, listen. Our league is known for being in a lot of close games, and turnovers often will make the difference.
Coach, I know you're a South Florida guy. I grew up down here also. I grew up in the Orange Bowl. I grew up for Dolphin games on Sunday, Canes games on Saturday. I remember what it felt like for those Notre Dame games in the late 80s and the FSU games. You grew up in this also, but now you're coaching in the last 3 weeks in that stadium. I have seen the stadium erupt, even for a noon game when you had 60,000-plus there last weekend. What's that like for you and the coaching staff and the players when you look around and you feel what that stadium feels like, and does it compare at all to those old OB games?
I think it does. I think it's been awesome. I think the fans have been unbelievable. And I think what our players are sensing, I know defensively, is they're getting the feel of when a defense has the advantage of that home crowd behind them. You know, I think it was one of Trent Harris' sacks in the Notre Dame game. You know, he jumps off the ball to tackle, can't hear the snap count. You know, and you just remember what it was like in the old Orange Bowl, and especially when the ball moved down to the west end zone down there. You weren't going to score on offense. I mean, you wanted, you know, you almost could feel in the old Orange Bowl that, you know, the other team had to be going to the east, to the open end of the Orange Bowl, to have a chance. And now this stadium doesn't have an open end, you know. And then because, you know, we're really mean, we put a roof on it, so it's super loud in there now. And I think you saw it in the third quarter. You know, we had Virginia backed up against that west end zone on a, you know, that's where the pick six occurred, and then we pinned them down there deep one time and got a three and out, which I think we turned around and kicked the field goal, which put us up our first lead, which we would never relinquish. So with the, you know, we talked to the defensive guys, hey, every time you take the field, you know, acknowledge the crowd, get them going. And they've been fantastic.
Manny, what are you hearing from recruits during this run? Speaking of those last three games, I know you guys have had a chance to get all your top guys out there standing on that sideline to get a feel for this thing. It's got to be good for business, man.
Well, yeah, it's well, because like what Zach said, you know, we've seen this before, right? But they've not seen this. You know, if you're 18 years old, you're walking in that stadium going, holy cow, you know, this is a big time thing that I've not seen before. So, and it's not just them. I mean, it's the ones that are in eighth grade right now that don't even know that, you know, no one even knows they're going to develop into big time players, and that they're walking around, you know, and seeing how this town is energized and seeing, you know, old ladies wearing turnover chains and things like that. And this to them is the new normal. They're like, okay, I get it. You know, this is what it's like when the Canes are rolling. So our staff and the way that we're recruiting and the reception that we're getting, everything is very positive, and winning helps, you know, and the fact that we've got an extra game to play next week is what the goals of this program are really all about.
Manny, you get a good chuckle when you get to watch, you know, whether it's SportsCenter or something after one of the games at night, and you see one of the other teams around the country with their own version of the turnover chain or one of these things that's going around. You kind of get a good laugh at that, knowing that you guys have done something around the country now that people are trying to imitate.
Well, there's no doubt, and isn't that what Miami? You know, I mean, that's what Miami did. I mean, Miami was a trendsetter back in the day. You know, everybody secretly deep down inside wants to be a Hurricane. And so it is funny. We could not have predicted this, but it certainly turned into another thing that the rest of, you know, pretty much everyone else that plays college football is envious of and wishing that they were a Hurricane.
Manny, it's been unbelievable. Really has. By the way, do you watch the poll show tonight, the playoff poll, to see where it is, or could you care less at this point?
Only unless they tell us that we don't have to play our next two games to get in. But I think they're going to tell us. I think they're going to tell us we have to go beat Pitt and then go beat Clemson. So again, we are blessed because we control our own destiny, right? If we were in a situation where we needed something else to happen, we would probably pay more attention to that. But you do everything you can to be on Thanksgiving week and just say, hey, listen, you know, take care of your business, worry about Miami, and we're in. And that's pretty cool. So, you know, everything else really doesn't matter.
Yeah. Defensive coordinator for the undefeated Miami Hurricanes. I can't believe I'm saying this late in the season
Friday,
with one game to
12
go.
12 o'clock.
Chance to go undefeated. That's right. That's right. Best of luck, Coach, on Friday. We'll talk to you again soon. And we'll definitely talk to you before, hopefully, that ACC championship game in a couple of weeks also.
You got it, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right.
Back
you too, Coach.
Thanks,
you too, Coach.
Appreciate that.
Defensive coordinator Manny Diaz, the turnover chain, everything with this defense. It's fun to watch. It's fun to hear from Coach Diaz as well, and they have a big one coming up here at the end of the week. Pittsburgh end the season undefeated. Can they do it or not? We will see. Big O's coming up next. He'll talk more about the Hurricanes and the Dolphins and even Danny Q right after this.
This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.